You just have to believe with all your hearts. And read Romans 8. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he sanctified. God made a perfect work of redemption. And so, just to refer to what our beloved brother said, it's the first time that words like this were said in a meeting. Usually I just come and I go without any introduction. But it is very true. God gave me a great, great privilege to know Brother Branham for 10 years personally, to be in his meetings in Germany, in his meetings in America, to have tea in his home, to drive in the same car. He was driving and I was sitting next to him. But that is not the most important. The most important is my ministry is directly connected to Brother Branham's ministry as no one else's on the face of the earth at this time. So I do not want to go into the experiences, but it was in 1955 when I was in Brother Branham's meetings, and beloved, I saw Bible days. I saw Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I saw the confirmation of God's word right there and then. Not just a promise, it will be all right, but when Brother Branham prayed for the sick, the Lord showed him a vision first. And on May the 7th, 1946, when the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham and gave him the direct commission, he said these words, "Fear not, I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God to give you your commission." And then the angel said, "As Moses was given two signs are given to you. One sign will be that you take with your left hand the patient's hand and turn your hand upside down like this. And if the patient has a cancer or a tumor, that cancer or tumor will appear on Brother Branham's hand, and the patient can see his own tumor, his own cancer." And the angel of the Lord said, "Tell the person not to close their eyes, because the very moment when Brother Branham would pray and the cancer would vanish from his hand, the person is healed, absolutely healed." And I met especially Gordon Lindsay and his wife, and his wife was German, and I knew them, and they were the two extraordinary witnesses who were in Brother Branham's meetings since 1947, being in the meetings and seeing that sign confirmed. The next was that he will know the secrets of the heart, that he would have not only a vision, but he would hear a voice, and whatever the person has, God would reveal to him, and he could say it. When Brother Branham came to Germany, he didn't speak a word of the German language, but for every person in the prayer line, he could tell the sister, you're not from this city, you're from Hamburg, you're a nurse, and all the details in every service. When he prayed, the Lord showed him a vision and showed him what the person had. And then Brother Branham very briefly explained that what happened in Genesis chapter 18, when the Lord came to Abraham, giving him the promise, in a year from now, your wife, Sarah, will have a son. And Sarah was behind him in the tent, and she laughed in her heart, not out loud, in her heart. And the Lord looked at Abraham and said, why did Sarah laugh? And Brother Branham continued and said, the same angel of the Lord, the same Lord, does the same in our time. And I saw it. I'm a true witness of what God has done in our day and time. So we are telling you what the Lord has done and also what he is doing now. If we would only know what God has done in the ministry of Brother Branham up till December 1965, we would just be a very poor people. If we would not know what God has done since he took his prophet to glory. This is the most important part. What God did in the days of Brother Branham was necessary to do what he is doing now. God will take his messengers, but the message remains with us. And it was, as you know, I hope you know my testimony. I, Brother Frank, heard the actual, the direct voice, audible, all-penetrating voice of the Lord a number of times. The first time on April the 2nd, 1962, which was a Monday morning. I had prepared myself for the day and was looking towards the window after a short prayer. And from up but from the right, the voice of the Lord in the German language, my servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. With one blow, I was just on the carpet from the impact of that tremendous voice of the Lord. And after I could stand to my feet, my knees were just moving like this. I looked again towards the window and said, dear Lord, they will not hear me. They've got all things in plenty. They are not ready to listen. And just at that moment, the Lord spoke the second time. My servant, the time will come when they will hear you. Store in food, for a great famine is coming. And then thou shalt stand in the midst of the people, to give out the food. And the last two things the Lord said on April the 2nd, 1962, were, "My servant, don't establish local churches and don't publish a songbook, for it is a sign of a denomination." So I received a direct commission and direct instructions of what is going with that great commission. And then on December the 3rd, which was also a Monday, when I visited Brother Branham and dear friends, that was also one of the most important days. When we were together, Brother Branham was sitting opposite Brother Frank. Fred Sutman and Banks Woods were sitting with us at the same table. And Brother Branham was referring to Dr. Guggenbühl in Zurich, Switzerland, and asking about the meetings in Switzerland, and asking about Brother Müller in Karlsruhe, Germany. I was not interested in these questions. Patience left me. And I said, "Brother Branham, I came to ask you something." And just at that moment, when I said, I almost interrupted Brother Branham. I said, "Brother Branham, I came to ask you something." And he just raised his hand a little across the table and said, "Brother Frank, may I tell you what the Lord has spoken to you?" And he repeated word for word in the English language, "The Lord has spoken to me," in the German language. And then, to make it very brief, Brother Branham said, "Brother Frank, the food you to put in store is the promised word of God for this day." Promised word of God for this day. And then he said, "It is kept in the messages which are being typed, which are being typed." And finally, he said, "Brother Frank, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food." This is as true as every word in this book. So because I live in Germany, I didn't know about the accident Brother Branham had on December the 18th. I didn't know about him dying or being taken to glory on the 24th of December 65. But because I'm at home with you, I don't say this many times, but on December the 24th, I saw William Branham going up on a cloud. And in that vision, I say he was leaning over like this and going up on the cloud. And in this vision, I said, "Brother Branham, you're not the Son of Man. Why do I see you on this cloud going up?" And then if you take the time difference between European time and US time, it was the precise moment the Lord had taken his servant to glory. And just for your information, our Lord went up in a cloud. The two prophets in Revelation 11 will be taken up by a cloud. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, all the saints will be taken up on the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't need any permission by anyone to do whatever he does. So I want you to understand this. I'm not only traveling, I'm not only preaching, I'm sharing the true word of Almighty God with God's people. And if we believe the promise God made in his word, beloved, we have to understand this. First, God makes promises. And when the time comes, that promise will be fulfilled. God himself has taken responsibility to fulfill every promise he made. And our faith is anchored into the promises of God. If you don't have a promise, you have religious imagination. No more and no less. You must have a promise first. When the Lord made the promise to Abraham, then Abraham believed what the Lord God promised unto him. To make it very brief, in the Bible we are told about the first coming of our Lord and all that would take place when he comes. Even the ministry of John the Baptist was foretold in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the ways of the Lord, make straight the ways of our God. It was a promise, a prophetic scripture. In Malachi 3, our Lord himself, and therefore we know that he himself came. He himself came because he said in Malachi 3, verse 1, I will send my messenger before my face to prepare my way before me. No man of God prepares his own way. No man of God blows his own trumpet. No man of God presents his own program. A man sent from God has the word of God, the promised word of God for that hour. And therefore, we understand that we can check. We can check everything by the word of God. And we must check everything by the word of God. So, at the first coming of Christ, everything pertaining to our Lord and his forerunner was written in the scriptures. And when the time was fulfilled, the angel Gabriel came down from heaven, standing on the right side of the altar, talking to Zacharias, giving the promise that his wife Elizabeth will bear a son and call him John, for he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare his ways and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Beloved, when God makes history on earth, the supernatural takes place. And when our Savior was to be born, you can read it in Luke chapter 2, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, giving her the promise for that day, for that moment. And she said at first, I don't know of any man. That was a good part. I wished that all who belong to the bride of Christ could say, I don't know of any man. I just know about Jesus Christ. That is very important. But the next moment, the angel gave the promise. And she believed the promised word. And that was the moment the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And that was when the Son of God was born, when the Word had become flesh. In the same way, we are born again. Please, please understand this. We're not born again because the wind blows. We are born again after the seed of the Word of God is placed into our soul. We are redeemed, we are saved when we believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If we recognize that He was the Lamb of God who took away our sins, if we recognize that God was in Christ reconciling the world with Himself, we are redeemed, our sins are forgiven. But the next is the seed, the Word, the Word. And the Word is the seed. Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, the Word is the seed. James chapter 1, verse 18, born again by the seed of the everlasting Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, born again by the seed of the Word of God. So please have your personal experiences of salvation. It's not enough to talk about the message or the messenger. Have your personal experiences with the Lord. Make sure. Like, to give you an example, when John the Baptist was preaching, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 10, verse 11. He said, "I baptize you with water, but he that comes after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." There was a promise, and you know what? On the day of Pentecost, who were the 3,000? Who were there? Who were the 3,000? When John made the promise, "I baptize you in water, but he that comes after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." They had to be there when the Holy Ghost came down. So, beloved, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the moment when the New Testament church came into existence. But now, to the subject of the return of Christ. It's a promise. John chapter 14, "I go to prepare the place, and then I will return, and I will take you to be where I am." It's a promise. Please believe that promise. Believe it with all your heart. And then our Lord in Matthew 24 spoke about all the signs of the end time, of the things which would take place before He returns. And then in Matthew 24, 45 to 47, about the giving out of the true food before Matthew 25 can be fulfilled. The message is, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And only those who are part of the bride will hear the voice of the bridegroom. If a marriage is announced in your community, only the bride prepares because she has the promise. All other ladies continue as usual. So it is now. All the churches will continue in their own ways. But they who belong to the bride of Christ, they have the promise. They will hear the true word of God, and they will believe, and they will also be obedient. Please remember, faith and obedience go together. So please understand, we must believe but also obey. Now coming to what our Lord said would happen before he returns, and that's the main promise. The main promise, Malachi chapter 4. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Now is the day of salvation. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. Now is the time of grace and the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. But the day of grace, the time of salvation, will end with the return of Christ. And then the terrible day, the judgments will come upon the earth after we are taken to glory. So the Lord made the promise in the Old Testament. He said, behold. And if you read the word behold in the scripture, please stop for a moment and pay attention. Pay attention. When it's written behold, please, please stop for a moment. Give full attention to what is being said. So behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. What did Elijah do? To make it very brief, he took the 12 stones according to the 12 tribes, restored the altar that was torn down, called God's people together, because some were following the Asherah priests, some were following the Baal priests, some went into the mountains of Ephraim, did not return to Jerusalem, but built their own altars in the mountains of Ephraim. And then the man of God, with a divine commission, went to Mount Carmel, called the people together, rebuilt the altar, and then he prayed. After he put the sacrifice on the altar, Lord God, let it be known today that you are the only true God in Israel, and I'm your servant, and that I have done all things according to your word. Praise God. That I have done all these things according to your word. A true man of God does all things according to the word of God. So, but it's not only in the Old Testament. I'm so glad. I'm so glad for the great experience on Mount Transfiguration. Matthew 17. There Moses and Elijah appeared, and the three disciples were with our Lord. And if you read in Matthew 3:17, the voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. In Matthew 17, verse 5, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. These three words, hear ye him. Then when we hear him, the pleasure that was upon him will come upon us. Because we are placed directly into the will of God according to the word of God. And when they were coming down from this great experience from the mountain, in verse 10, the disciples were asking the question, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? I'm glad this question was asked. Praise be to Almighty God. Praise be to Almighty God that this question was asked. Why do the scribes say Elijah must first come? And then the answer was in verse, and is in verse 11, truly Elijah shall first come and restore all things. So the main word in the message of the hour is to restore. To restore. And what did Brother Branham say? What restoration means? Bringing us back to the original foundation, to the original beginning, to the doctrines of the apostles. And beloved brothers and sisters, the last and the first sermon must be the same. The last and the first baptism must be the same. There must be a total restoration of the church of the living God before the return of Jesus Christ. Every time when we read about John the Baptist's ministry, you find the word prepare. Isaiah 40 verse 3, Malachi 3 verse 1, Matthew 11 verse 10, Mark chapter 1, 1 to 3, Luke chapter 3, and even Luke chapter 1 verse 17, you find the word prepare. In Luke 1, 76, you find the word prepare. Prepare, prepare, prepare. But when it comes to the last ministry, it's not only to prepare. Yes, we must be prepared, but not without a restoration. We must be prepared in the restoration to have part in the final demonstration of the power of Almighty God as it was at the very beginning of the New Testament church. And when our Lord said, truly Elijah shall first come to restore all things, please, please believe it. Respect it. Respect every word of God. And then the word will be revealed to you. If you don't agree with the word, it will never be revealed to you. You must respect, you must agree with every word of God. And then the scripture is fulfilled. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. But every word of God. Every promise in this book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And also in Mark chapter 9, verse 12, our Lord repeated the promise from the Old Testament. Surely Elijah shall first come and restore all things. The first sermon I heard Brother Branham preach was from Joel chapter 2, verse 25. I will restore, says the Lord. I will restore. So we are living in a time of restoration, of calling out, of preparation. And then it will be fulfilled what is written in Matthew chapter 25, verse 10. They that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was closed. Beloved, I want you to know this. I'm not a charismatic personality. I'm nothing special. I'm just a man like you. And if you would know where I was born on a farm. We had no electricity. I was born on a farm. We had no electricity. We had a great farm with a nice lake. Electricity was already in the village, but not on the farms. So I'm a very simple person. I'm not highly educated, but by the grace of God, by the divine commission and call, I must share with you what God has revealed and what He has actually promised for this day. So we understand the message of the hour correctly. On June the 11th, and it was 80 years ago, when Brother Branham was baptizing in the Ohio River, I went to the Ohio River. I saw persons who were there in 1933, in the meetings, at the Easter meetings, in 1966. Billy Paul was asking if there is somebody present who was there in 1933 when the supernatural light came down and the tremendous voice, and Brother Branham says it was a voice like a thunder. And the voice spoke to Brother Branham as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. You are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. So it is so very, very important to be up to date in the kingdom of God, to know the promised word for today and to part in what God is doing right now. This is the most important time in the history of the New Testament church. And the decision you make now, you take with you to eternity. So we understand by the grace of God what God has promised. And by the way, the children of promise, Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, ye brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. The children of promise believe the word of promise, and they receive the spirit of promise. And this is, on this trip, our brothers had wonderfully prepared through Malawi and also Zambia. I had to touch every time on this subject. It is not enough to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Many are anointed. At the present time, we have 550 million Pentecostal charismatic people on the face of the earth. You can check it in the internet. 550 million charismatic and Pentecostal-oriented people on earth. They're all anointed, but all stay in their own churches, in their own traditions. Everyone remains where and how they are, just a little dancing and. That's not enough. It's not enough to be anointed. We must be sealed by the Spirit of promise. And you can read it if you note the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. All the promises of God are yea and amen through Christ by us. Through Christ by us. The promises must be fulfilled by Christ, but with you, with me. The promises, we must see the promises fulfilled. And if we are children of the promise, believing the word of promise, we see the promises fulfilled in our time. And especially about the restoration. Beloved, Brother Branham had a restored apostolic prophetic ministry. I'm an eyewitness, I'm an ear witness. And the message God gave to him was the message of restoration. Somebody was asking, what is the message all about? And he said, back to the word of God, back to the beginning, back to the days of the apostles, back to the days of Pentecost, back to the word of God. And if you go into the Bible history, when the Israelites came back from the Babylonian captivity and they returned to Jerusalem, what did they do? They found the temple site and they found the original foundation of the temple. And they began to weep. They began to weep and to praise God. And the second temple was built precisely on the same foundation the first temple was built. So it is now. We are taken out from all the Babylonian captivities which are on the face of the earth in all denominations. We return to the original foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And he's also the headstone. He's Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. So all the Bible doctrines were restored first. So we don't go back to any Nicene Creed, which was published in 325. No, we go back to the Bible. Would you expect me to be a Nicene Creed, to believe that one? I don't think so. No, I believe the Bible. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. So every dogma and all that was published in all these 2,000 years, forget it. Whatever God had to say is in this book. And so let me please emphasize, it's calling out time. Ye, my people, come out from among them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14. And then you go to Revelation chapter 18. Ye, my people, come out from among them, so you don't partake in the plagues that will come upon them. So this is calling out time. This is restoration time. This is preparation time. So we understand with the message of the hour, the greatest purpose is connected. And always stay in the Word of God. Never leave the Word of God. Please read when you come home Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and verse 14. In Christ, we are sanctified in the will of God once and forever, but only in Christ and in the Word of God. And therefore, we must not accept any interpretation. On this part, beloved, I have to be very, very strong, and that in the name of the Lord. It says in Isaiah, chapter 8, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they don't speak according to the word, it is because there is no light in them. This is thus says the Lord. Back to the word, back to the testimony. If they don't speak according to the word, there is no light in them. There's no light in them. If you go to 1 John chapter 1, it says here in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. And the truth is not in us. If we say we love him, we believe him, and still walk in darkness, we lie. Because if we follow Jesus Christ, we believe the true word of God. And when our Lord said in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is the truth. Thy word is the truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God remains forever. I never forget the day. It was February 1982. When for the first time in the city Marseille in France, I was asked about the seven thunders in Revelation 10. And I just had to say, there was a group of brethren from Armenia. How many knows where Armenia is? Armenia is where the mountain Ararat is. And on the mountain Ararat, the boat of Noah came down on the Mount of Ararat, and it's in there. So I preached there years ago, and this group came to France and were asking me after a service, could you tell us about the seven thunders? And I just had to say, I don't know, good night. And I went to my room, but the next morning, and beloved, I still have the same watch today. The same watch. There's no battery in this watch. I never need to rewind it. It just moves day and night. I like that. But anyway, you know what happened the next morning? God is my judge. As you hear my voice, my servant rise and read 2 Timothy chapter 4. And when you hear, and the voice comes always from the right, never from directly before me, never from the left, never from behind, always and always and always from the right, always from the right. And beloved, I just jumped and took my Bible and a small desk. If my room was not much bigger than this one here. And I read from verse 1 to 5. I charge thee before God and the Savior Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his coming and at his kingdom. And the verse 2, preach the word. It be in time or out of time, whether people like it or not. Because the time will come when people will have itching ears. And I read up to verse 5. And then I stopped. And I read again from verse 1. And when I came to verse 2, preach the word, I remembered the call that I would go from city to city to preach the word. But I remembered also a little more. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed are those who read the word of the prophecy of this book and keep the things which are written in it. Don't worry about things which are not written. Worry about the things which are written in the word of God. Hallelujah! Even if 70 angels would come from heaven and say, Brother Frank, we have good news for you. We have the revelation of the seven thunders. I would just say, please return from where you came. Please do it right now. Do it right now. If you hear the direct voice of the Lord, if you get the answer from the word of God, nobody's going to shake you from that answer. You stay in the word of God. So we understand the importance. And why do brothers misunderstand this? I tell you why. Because they lost their respect towards the word of God. And some brothers read 2-3 verses at the beginning, put the Bible aside, and they read quote after quote from sermon after sermon. And here is the problem. Here is the problem. Every quote is taken out of context. They don't tell you what Brother Branham said before. They don't tell you what he said after. They just pick the quotes which fit into their program, and then they line quote upon quote and mislead the people. And I tell you why. Because they don't go back to the Word of God. They don't go back to the Scripture. And they even say that Brother Branham was sent to correct the Scriptures. My God in heaven! My God in heaven! Brother Branham was a prophet. And the Word comes to the prophet. The whole Word of God was revealed to the minister William Branham. There is not a single revelation that anyone can add, whoever it might be. It's a full and total revelation of all the mysteries of Almighty God. How many times when Brother Branham referred to Revelation 10, verse 7. He every time used the plural in reference to his ministry. He used the plural that the seventh angel would finish all the mysteries, all the mysteries. And we understand, so the ministry of William Branham, all the mysteries from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22 were revealed and made known unto us. Even I was personally together with Brother Branham just before the opening of the seven seals. And he said, Brother Frank, would you preach for me in Los Angeles in the meeting of Demas Shekarian with a full gospel businessman, because I must pack and I must move to Tucson because of the vision the Lord had shown me. So Brother Branham personally informed me about his moving to Tucson, because in the vision he had seen the supernatural cloud coming down and the seven angels in the constellation of that cloud. And Brother Branham said, the seventh angel meant more to me than the other six. And the seventh angel was the one who spoke to me and said, return to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. And here it is, beloved brothers and sisters, because through all the years, every sermon Brother Branham preached in the USA was sent to me in Germany. I grew under his ministry in all these years. And when he said to me in June the 12th, 1958, in Dallas, Texas, at the great Voice of Healing convention, when he for the first time shared with me his testimony about the message of the hour, explaining, because I asked him, Brother Branham, I see the difference between your ministry and the ministry of all the other evangelists. Please tell me, what is it all about? And then he shared with me. And finally, he said, Brother Frank, you will return to Germany with this message. So I want you to understand this, beloved. Like it was in the days of Moses, everything God had to say, he said. And the words of the Lord God were placed into the Ark of the Covenant. And the people of Israel came out of Egypt, but they did not yet enter the promised land. They did not yet enter the promised land. But what did Joshua do? He took the Ark of the Covenant with the Word of God and placed it on the shoulder of the priests and Levites. But he did not add one word. He did not take away one word. Everything God wanted to say, he had said, and everything was placed into the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. And then the moment came when the Lord God said to Moses, come into the mountains of Pisgah and then go on Mount Nebo. You can read it in Deuteronomy chapter 34. And because I was interested to know where the mountain Nebo is, I took a taxi. When I was in Amman preaching the word of God, I took a taxi. Drove about 65 kilometers and was on the Mount Nebo. And when I looked before me, right was Jericho. Straight was Jerusalem. To the left, En Gedi and the Dead Sea. I was on Mount Nebo. But Moses' ministry was finished. He had done what God had ordained him to do, to call the people out. Let my people go. Let my people go. Israel is my firstborn son. Let my people go. And when I see the blood, when I see the blood, and the blood was shed, and the people came out. But they did not yet go in. That was number two. But they had to come out first before they could get in. So we're experiencing this at the present time under the ministry of Brother Branham. The calling out is still going on. But also the going in. To claim every promise. And beloved, when the Lord spoke to Joshua, he said, don't fear. Be encouraged, because as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And then he had to tell the people, every place your foot will step on is given to you. Is given to you. Wherever you step in the promised land, that is given to you. Please, children of the promise, believe every, put your foot down. Put your foot down and say, this promise belongs to me. All the promises of God are yea and amen. So Jesus Christ by us. So we understand, by the grace of God, the period of time we are living in. And as I said before, God takes his servants, but he leaves the message they brought with us. And now I look back to the many years, and having had the great privilege, to preach, I think, over 10,000 sermons in the past 50 years. I still have radio and TV ministries in many countries. Started with New Zealand, Australia, USA, Canada, in Moscow, in Russia, in South America, in many, many countries. And my feet have stepped on the soil of 157 countries, sharing the precious word of God, the message of the hour, informing God's people that God kept his promise and sent the prophet before the great day of the Lord would come to restore all things and to bring us back to the original foundation of the apostles and prophets, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Praise be to the living God. We don't need any new or special revelation. Some come with seven thunders. Just before I left Germany, there was an email. They found the fifth person to be one of the seven thunder persons. So they're searching for two more. Forget it all. It's nonsense. Forget it all. No. The Lord performs his work in the elect, and his elect will not be deceived. They are in the word of God, sanctified in the truth. So we understand always by the word of God to remain and stay in the word of God. Even if some say, Brother Branham must return. If some say the Lord has already come. If some say, forget it all, forget it all. Please ask them to show you in the Bible. If they cannot show in the Bible what they're saying, just don't even listen. You know what Brother Branham intended to do? He wanted to preach the sermon, the trail of the serpent. The trail of the serpent. That was his intention on his way to Jeffersonville to preach that most important sermon, the trail of the serpent. And he said, the serpent at the beginning and the serpent at the end. What did the serpent do? Just putting doubts into what God had said. And just adding one word. One word. The word not. The word not. If you compare what God said to Adam, you may eat from all the trees. And the serpent said, did God say, you may not eat from all the trees, and entangled her into a conversation. Did God say, you will surely not die? Referring to that word, but putting things upside down, adding and changing, and the final result was the original sin, and Cain was the product of that deception. Beloved, I say this in the name of the Lord. Don't give ear to any word of God. Believe it with all your heart, but involve in no discussion. In no discussion. Just believe God's original word and stay with it. Because even when Satan came to the Lord, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He comes with the word to deceive. But Jesus Christ is the word. And if you believe the word of God, you will not be part of a discussion about the word. Not about any teaching. Like Brother Branham, he not only referred to it, but he emphasized the existence of one God, not three eternal persons. God is one, revealing himself as Father in heaven, in his only begotten Son on earth, in the believers by the Holy Spirit. God above us, God with us, God in us. Three manifestations of the same God to accomplish his own plan of salvation, to bring us back into our original position as sons and daughters of God. My beloved brothers and sisters, we just believe that the ministry given to Brother Branham was the most important in the plan of salvation. And in the New Testament church, it's very, very important to believe according to the word of God. So not three individual persons, the Father eternal, the Son eternal, or Ghost eternal. No, one eternal God who is Spirit. And no one had ever seen him at any time, dwelling in his love and light and life. But at the beginning of time, he stepped out of the fullness of light into a visible form of appearance, walking in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 1, you only find the word Elohim for God. Never the word Lord, not in chapter 1. Only from chapter 2, verse 2, you find the term Lord God, Lord God. But I cannot go into these details, but I know my Lord personally. I know him by divine revelation. So throughout the Old Testament, he was the I Am. He revealed himself. He visited Abraham. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said, I'm the Lord, and gave the great commission. The Lord said, I heard the cry of my people. I saw their afflictions. I remember my promise. And I've come down to deliver you. And I'm sending you, and I go with you. Throughout all the Old Testament, the Lord revealed himself, but he was not yet in a body of flesh. He could not die in that dimension and in that body. He had to come into our body to bear our sins, to take the curse that was upon us, to take all the sin. And because the original sin did not happen in Genesis chapter 1, where the Lord God said that he created Adam in his own image. In Genesis chapter 2, the Lord created Adam from the dust of the earth. And only then he could sleep. And only then he could take Eve out of Adam. So, in the same way, the bride could not be taken out from the Lord's side when he was in the spiritual. He had to come into a body of flesh and blood and his side was opened on the cross of Calvary, and his blood was shed, and the bride was taken out. She was redeemed, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit. So all these things have a significance in the plan of salvation. So when we pray, we only pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We never pray, "Our Son who art in heaven." We never pray, "Our Holy Ghost who art in heaven." No, we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What is his name? What is his name? In John 17, three times, our Lord said, "Father, I revealed your name to them, you gave unto me." So it's a divine revelation. The name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus Christ. And every person from the day of Pentecost was baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Back to the beginning, back to the original. Restoration by the grace of God and by the power of God. All of you have not yet been baptized according to the scripture. Please make sure that you don't say you believe, but please obey. Please obey. If you don't obey, your faith is not confirmed. Abraham believed, Abraham obeyed. When Abraham believed, he saw the promise fulfilled. And in Genesis 22, when the Lord God said, "Take Isaac, their only begotten son, and take him to Mount Moriah and bring him as a sacrifice," he did not even speak to Sarah. He just told his servants, "Please, let us go." And you know what Mount Moriah is? It's the temple mountain of today. Mount Moriah of the Old Testament became the temple mountain. There where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. And then the angel of the Lord spoke when Abraham was about to bring his son as a sacrifice. "I've seen your obedience. I've seen your faith." And then God gave the promise again, like it did in Genesis 12. "In you I will bless all nations of the earth." So we understand God watches over his word. And we who believe must obey. Must obey. There's no way around it. So by the grace of God, the true water baptism of believers is when both go into the water. Acts chapter 8, Philip and the man went into the water. John was standing in the Jordan River to baptize. And then we baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the New Testament covenant name. And you read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, when our Lord said, "My blood is the blood of the new covenant, of the New Testament, which is shed for many." So we understand there is a bride of Christ, who will spend eternity with the Lord. First, we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But we shall be with the Lord forever and ever. When he comes down to reign, we come down with him. Wherever the New Jerusalem will be, that is where we shall be forever and ever. And the Lord has prepared the place for those who love him. And then we understand we have to go from Acts 2 to Acts 8 to Acts 10 to Acts 19 to say that Jews, Gentiles, and everybody was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, by the grace of God, let me repeat and say what we try to share with you today. I'd like to read one more verse from 1 John, from 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. I've not written unto you because ye have not the truth, not know the truth, but because ye know it. And there is no lie in the truth. Please remember these scriptures forever. The scripture does not permit any private interpretation. 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 16, when the man of God spoke about the return of Christ, about the coming of Christ, he said, we have the more sure word of prophecy, and we look unto that word of prophecy as unto a light that shines in a dark place, and no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. But everything God said, it will happen the way it said. So if somebody tells you the Lord has already come, just tell them, as long as the bride is on earth, the bridegroom has not yet come. Because if he comes, I go. If he comes, I go. Yes, sure. But some brothers who were not acquainted with the message and with the Bible, and let me say this with honesty, if you only go to the message and don't go back to the Bible, you are deceiving the people. You must come back to the Word of God. You must come back to the final authority, to the final absolute, and that is the Word of God, which remains forever. And as I said before, the word comes to the prophet, and the prophet brought us back to the word of God. But for instance, when Brother Branham spoke of what happened when the supernatural cloud appeared, when he was on Sunset Mountain, a mighty earthquake shook the whole area. And this earthquake was accompanied by 7 mighty thunderclaps. And only at that moment, Brother Branham looked up, and then he saw the supernatural cloud, and he says he was taken into this cloud. So, beloved, we must know the details. I translated every sermon of William Branham into the German language. I know his sermons in and out as I know the Lord, as I know my Bible. And I challenge anybody to come to me. To come to me with all the doctrines which are going on. Forget it all. Come back to the Word of God. Full restoration means back to God, back to the beginning, back to the Word, back to the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And so, when Brother Branham spoke about 7 thunders, hear what he said in December 62. Hear what he said in March 63. But please hear what he said in August 1964. When somebody came and said, Brother Branham, will the 7 thunders be a special revelation given to a man? And his answer was, the opening of the 7 seals was all what the 7 thunders were about. So people misunderstand. They only go to the 7 thunders in Revelation 10. But the 7 thunders of Revelation 10, they're in the future. All of Revelation 10 is in the future. The angel of the covenant with the rainbow has not come down. That's not a promise for the New Testament church. Our promise is the bridegroom will come and the bride made herself ready to meet the bridegroom when he comes. And the angel of the Lord will come to his holy temple. Malachi chapter 3, second part of verse 1. And the angel of the covenant will come to his holy temple. You must go back to the word of God, to the word of God. And then you understand, especially, maybe I should read this scripture so that you will know it's in the word of God which remains forever. And therefore, if anybody explains to you something, please, 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 pay attention, even to the fact that when the angel of the covenant comes down with a rainbow over him, he will swear by him that liveth forever and ever. And he will cry as a lion, roar, roar, like a lion. He's not the lion of the church. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Genesis chapter 49. And also the Bible. Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so we understand why it is written in Hosea chapter 11 verse 10. They shall follow after the Lord, and he shall roar like a lion, speaking to the people of Israel. And then in Joel chapter 3, verse 16, the Lord shall roar out of Zion, not out of New York, no, out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. So we must go back with every subject to the word of God. Old and New Testament are together. And here in Amos chapter 1 verse 2, and he said, the Lord will roar out of Zion. And then if you go to Daniel chapter 12, where it tells you and me and all of us that from the moment he will lift up his hands and swear, there will be a time, times, and a dividing of time to the consummation. Here, Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was upon the waters, and upon, and then it says, he raised his left and right hand to heaven and swore by him that lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and a dividing of time. Yeah, and a dividing of time. Here we are told precisely from the moment when the angel of the Lord will come down as the original owner. And you must go to Revelation chapter 4, where the Lord is seen on the throne and the rainbow over the throne. You must go to the Bible to know precisely what is meant in Revelation chapter 10. And for instance, you also must read what is going to happen in the first four seals. How many read the seal book? How many read the seal book? Did you? Oh, not many. But if you, quickly, I stop in a few moments or minutes. When Brother Branham spoke on the seals, he showed very plainly that the first four seals show the Antichrist in his four stages, along with the period of the New Testament church. And then he said the fifth seal refers to the Jews, to the martyred Jews, even including the 6 million Jews who were murdered in World War II. The 6 million Jews, the souls are under the altar and they cry for revenge, for revenge. A true child of God never cries for revenge. A true child of God says, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So Brother Branham very, very wonderfully spoke on the seven seals in a majestic way. All we need is the same Holy Spirit to guide us, to understand by divine revelation, and to be led in the truth. So everything that is going to happen from Revelation chapter 6 verse 12 is in the future. It's in the future. Nothing has happened. What is written from Revelation chapter 6 verse 12. And I tell you why. Because here is the introducing of the day of the Lord. Because in the sixth seal, the sun turns into darkness and the moon into blood. As it is said in Joel chapter 2 verse 31. Sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great day of the Lord comes. So in the sixth seal, the introduction into the day of the Lord takes place. And then you go from chapter to chapter. In the seventh chapter, in the first part, you find the sealing of the 144,000 elect from the 12 tribes of Israel. And then in the second part of chapter 7, you find those who will go through the tribulation and wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, even in the tribulation. Yesterday, I made a statement for the first time. I didn't know why. But I made the statement, beloved brothers and sisters, when after the going away of Brother Branham, and I dedicated my life to the Lord, I made a vow with many tears. And I said, dear Lord, be with me. I'm ready to do what you commissioned me to do. Watch over me, that I would only preach thy word and just saying a few things. And the final thing I actually demanded from the Lord was this. Dear Lord, I will obey your commission. I will go from city to city. I will go into all the world. But I have one great petition. Would you please be with me in such a way that everyone that hears your words from my lips and believe you, that I will see them again in glory. Should I repeat? I'm not here just to preach. I'm here to share with you the word of God. Calling out time, preparation time, restoration time by the grace of Almighty God. I want to see in glory. But in case you would miss the rapture, please remain true and wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb even after the rapture. Some people say there is no more blood on the mercy seat. Oh, mercy. The blood is still on the mercy seat. Glory be to Almighty God. Oh, how wonderful is the word of God. So we understand even Revelation 10. We understand all things. And what you also have to know, just in a few moments, Revelation chapter 8. Is so very important. And don't ask me why, but Brother Branham never read Revelation chapter 8 from verse 2. He just read verse 1 about the silence in heaven, and then he went and continued to preach. But I must read what the seventh seal contains. And in the seventh seal, seven trumpet angels stand before the throne of God. Not seven church age messengers, seven trumpet angels stand in the presence of God. And in verse 6, the seven trumpets were given to them. And then when the first trumpet blowed, verse 7, one third of the trees of the earth was no more. One the second you can read, one third again, one third again. Destruction, destruction, judgment, judgment, judgment. In every one of the trumpets, there is judgment. And then we have in chapter 9, the fifth trumpet. And in chapter 9, from verse 13, you have the sixth trumpet. And in the sixth trumpet, we are brought back to the river Euphrates. And the river Euphrates starts in Turkey, and moves on right along Baghdad. You remember the city Baghdad? And goes right into the Persian Gulf. And there, where the river Euphrates ends, there it actually begins. Because that is where paradise was. The word Bashra means paradise in English. Paradise. That is where humanity began. And that is where the four destructive angels will be to give the final judgment upon the earth. And one third of the world's population will no more be. So then, when this will happen, in chapter 10 comes the announcement after the first six angels have blown their trumpets and whatever had to happen has taken place. Then comes the announcement in the days when the seventh trumpet angel will sound the mystery of God. Who is the mystery of God? Jesus Christ is the mystery of God. So the Jews did not receive Jesus Christ. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But then they will look upon him whom they have pierced and recognize that he is a Savior. So everything is written in this book. And then it says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, when the seventh angel blew his trumpet, then the kingdom of God was being announced. Beloved brothers and sisters, God knew what he was doing. Amen. William Branham was a prophet. I'm not a prophet. But God gave me a teaching ministry. I just must go from scripture to scripture, verify it into three places, and showing here is what God said, and this is the way it's going to be fulfilled. So, in closing, let me say once again, don't follow a brother who presents new teachings. We are commanded by Almighty God to read the words of the prophecy of this book and keep everything that is written in here. And the curse is put upon everybody in Revelation chapter 22 who will add to the word of God. And therefore stay in the word of God, stay in the will of God, be restored by the power of Almighty God. And finally, so you will take it with you. The sealing by the Holy Spirit will not take place upon the anointed ones. Brother Branham preached a whole sermon about the anointed ones at the end time. There are many, many anointed. They pray for the sick. They prophesy. They do all kinds of things. But they built their own kingdom within the kingdom of God. They have their own plan. They've got their own ways. But beloved, as the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, after you heard the word of truth and believed it, you were sealed by the Spirit of promise unto the day of our redemption. Hallelujah. Not only being anointed by the Holy Spirit, but being led by the Holy Spirit, being sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the sealing cannot take place when error, when any teachings are found in you that are not in the Word of God. You can never, never be sealed. You can only be sealed by the Holy Spirit of truth and of promise if the Word of truth is in you and no interpretation, but God's original Word in you. the sealing takes place. Stay with the word of God. Stay with the brethren who only share the word of God. And no true teaching has brought a split, but every false teaching brings division, division. But every true teaching unites the body of Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So may the blessings of Almighty God rest upon you. How many wish to be in the rapture? Amen. Amen. So let us stand and pray. Let us stand and pray. Amen. I did not come in vain. I go back happy. I go back happy. Hallelujah. Receive the word of God. Receive the promises. The message of the hour. Be called out. Be restored. Be prepared. Be sealed by the Holy Spirit. A promise. Receive the word of truth. Never mix it. Never listen to the serpent. As the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, I fear as a serpent beguiled Eve, that you might be beguiled. My God in heaven, I claim every soul present for the kingdom of God, not to be beguiled, but to be sanctified in the truth. Hallelujah! 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 Blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. You are purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We'll spend all eternity together. Our names were written into the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Oh, may the blessings of Almighty God rest upon all of you in a mighty way as never before. May this be the day the Lord has made for you. Receive it, believe it, and thank God for it. And be prepared and restored by the power of Almighty God. And finally, we pray for all ministering brethren from this city, area, country, from neighboring countries, dear Lord. Bless your servants. May they have part in sharing the same food. Amen. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Amen. And Lord, you said, my food is to do the will of God. Amen. We are here to do the will of God, according to the word of God. O Lord, you sanctified the congregation. They received your word. They believed your word. And I will see them again in glory. Be blessed with the blessings of Almighty God. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Receive it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for coming. Thank you, beloved brother Muchika. Thank you, the brothers here, for inviting me. As I told you, I'm an old man. But anyway, the word of God is always fresh. And it's a living word. Amen. I love you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen.